4 divided by werewolves. I am recording this from a different place than what I normally do. As Mitch and I were talking before, my dog got sick somehow, and so I'm in a different space. So the acoustics, for those of you audio nerds out there.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
The acoustics sound different. Yeah. It's, you know what? You get what you pay for.
So. That's right.
I thought of you the other day because I saw I don't remember where I was, but I was Walmart, and
that tracks.
There was a woman with a baby, and I saw that she had a tattoo, and I was like, "Man, that's weird. That part of her tattoo looks like the trunk of an elephant." And then I saw the bottom half of an A peeking out from under.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, that's weird. I didn't realize we were in Roll Tide country, but
they're everywhere.
Man, imagine. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a ton of tattoos, but sports teams are way too fickle. Those fortunes change on a dime.
There's a person that I met through the store. Through Tommy's store in West Point. And I walked in. She's a big comic geek, and you know, she likes pretty cool stuff. And I walked in there one day, and she was mid conversation about her ex-husband. And apparently he has very proudly tattooed the Mountain Dew logo on his left upper arm.
So once
we're doing that, sports teams don't even shock me anymore.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I guess. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, if he loves Mountain Dew, he'd love them forever, unless they change the recipe.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I guess that's how people feel about their college teams.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I wouldn't be surprised to learn that this person had a Salt Life tramp stamp. I don't know that. But or a Yeti cooler tramp stamp, maybe. I don't know.
She could have. She's as I'm kind of rolling it back in my head. I'm thinking, yeah, those both of those things,
yeah,
make 100% sense. I'm just not used to seeing it here. Like,
yeah, I get you.
You know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Back when I lived in Georgia, sure, yeah, you know.
Yeah, here also, obviously. I mean, yeah. I assume that most of these rednecks have tattoos of the things they also had stickers of in the back of their truck windows and shit like that. I don't know, yeah. But, you know, makes sense in my head.
Just, you know, truck nuts tattoos everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd like truck nuts tattooed on my real nuts. How much is that? We have a special.
Yep.
All right. So we have two movies to talk about today. One I'm really interested to talk about because of your blinding white hot hatred for it.
Listen.
That would spawn the name of a new podcast. Should we ever decide to you know, just make a new one based off of our vehemently opposed views on a subject. And then the other one is, I don't know how you're how you feel about it because we haven't talked about it. So which one would you like to do first?
Well, you kind of know how I felt about it a little bit because we talked about it last year. But let's do the one you don't know for sure how I feel about first.
All right. So that is a movie a lot of people felt got shafted in this current crop of Oscar nominees.
Yeah.
Written and directed by Sean Durkin, and that is The Iron Claw. So this was, you know, kind of, I remember when word of this first hit that they're like, oh yeah, Zac Efron's making a wrestling movie, and I just assumed it was going to be like Stephen Amell's show Heels, which for the record was a terrible show. I tried to enjoy it. I couldn't. Despite repeated attempts. So I didn't realize it was going to be like an actual kind of serious look at it. So it tells the story of the Von Erich brothers who Their father was a professional wrestler. His signature move was the Iron Claw, and then all of the boys got into wrestling with varying results. And one of the things that they all really did well was die. So not looking to spoil anything for the for you, but it is the true story of a of a family that wrestled 50 years ago. So. Zac Efron plays Kevin Von Erich, who was the oldest of the Von Erichs and the only one who wrestled barefoot for reasons I don't understand because they never.
I guess I think it was kind of his like persona, I guess.
His signature move was that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like so they kind of wrestled in what you would consider kind of the southern, I
Yeah,
guess,
they're in
tier.
Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, of
Yeah, this is my stupid dogs. Just ignore them.
So the WCWs and the Ric Flairs and before Vince McMahon bought every fucking thing, right?
Right.
And the WWF, I feel like, was always kind of considered a higher tier, whether
Yes.
or not you subscribe to wrestling in that manner. But so, they had like Jimmy Superfly Snuka and stuff like that. So I feel like he was kind of doing maybe a similar like surfer kind of
Yeah.
make character vibe. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, to your point, that's kind of how he kind of explains it to his girlfriend. What's her name? Pam, I think, his wife, played by Lily James. He's basically like, if they like me, then you kind of get to play bigger arenas, which is kind of like getting promoted. And then so if you're made like the heavyweight champ of the Texas regional, wrestling circuit, then that might get the attention of, like a, kind of not quite
A
the
bigger promoter,
WWE, but a bigger
right?
promoter, and then you'd get a chance. And if they like you, then maybe you now get taken under that umbrella and move on and so forth. So, it was, for these guys, Zac Efron, his brother, Carrie, which played by Jeremy Allen White from The Bear, he kind of got into it because he was supposed to go to the Olympics for like track and field, and it just happened to be the Olympics that the United States boycotted because it was held in Moscow. So he was kind of like, "Ew, what am I going to do?" And his dad's like, "You're wrestling." And then let's see, who was the other brother? Was it David?
There was David, and then there was the another one.
Yeah, so David was kind of following in Kevin's footsteps, and then Mike was kind of the youngest, and he kind of had his own thing. He had
The outcast, yeah.
music, and he didn't really want to have anything to do with wrestling. And so the movie paints this kind of really interesting picture of this family. And how much of it is true, depending on what you read, is a lot of this I think
Yeah.
has been dramatized. Is that the mom was deeply religious and was basically like God'll shield them from whatever, and the father was very competitive, and basically would like there's a scene in the movie where, like they sit down for breakfast and he's like Kevin's my favorite, followed by
Yeah.
followed by Carrie, then David, then Mike.
He just breaks it down
but the
like
standings
it's
can
different.
change at any moment. And so the boys are basically taught two things. One is that they really can only rely on each other, and that's by design. The parents will tell them, like, this is when one of them goes to the parents saying, hey, this one of our brothers is having an issue, the parents' response is, that's between you and him. You guys got to work it out. So
Yeah.
these kids were taught two things. One is that they have to constantly be fighting each other for their father's attention and love, but they also only have each other to rely upon.
And don't interrupt when your brother's jerking off in the shower before church.
I feel like if you have a brother, that's just like an unspoken rule. I mean, that's just, if he says in a minute, then what's up. That's just how it goes. You had to go, you had to take a dump, go outside.
There's one bathroom, so.
There's one bathroom, so you gotta get in there before the shower starts if you want to make sure
Yep.
you can handle your business.
Before pressing
So
the lid. Yeah.
the movie kind of follows the progress of the, and I mean it's like I said, if you watch the trailer, you're just like, that's a lot of funerals for one movie.
It's Jesus Christ. It's like Fall of the House of Usher, but for Texas wrestlers.
Yeah, they certainly got their money's worth. However many black
Jesus.
umbrellas they bought for this film, they were like,
Yeah.
nope, just reuse
God. And that's the thing. And I kind of talked about it last show, but it's very good. I never want to watch it again. Jesus Christ. It is just soul crushing. Like one fucking thing after another.
I think that, for me, I thought it was good. I don't feel like I not having now watched all of the Oscar movies, I can't say that it's better than any of those films. And I think part of the problem for me is that, with the exception, and I understand, like, so this is a story about this family, and it focuses on Kevin to the point where all of the other characters are just very one-dimensional. Like, we don't see anything from the mom outside of, like, indifference, what seems like indifference towards her son's well-being, and then some sadness that they're all dying. When it's like, well, maybe take a look at what you did and how you parented them. And the father, like, same thing. It's like, and then the brothers all just basically were kind of copies of each other, just kind of vying for his attention, with the exception of Kevin. Kevin was the only character they allowed to, which is understandable given, kind of what happens in the movie. But he's kind of the only one who's, like, allowed to have, I feel like, to be a more fleshed out character. So it just was kind of
To an
hard for me
extent,
to get into it.
yeah, I can see that to an extent, but I still feel like the things that I liked, it's obviously Kevin's story, and that's who we kind of follow. But I did like the parts where, because it's obviously very centered around the brothers and how, they were a very close siblings because they had to be, right? And I did like, the few times where, like, they would take up for one another and stuff like that. So that kind of made me endeared some of the other ones, to me, and why it was just so fucking heartbreaking to watch, them, their the spiral they all go down.
And I guess it's not that I mean, I think all of the actors did a good job with what they were given. It's just, I just kept going, I don't know, like you, I don't feel like they, I guess, kind of me looking at it, I just go, well, why the like, especially like Carrie, right? Like, I'm like, why would you keep doing this? Like, you're miserable. Like, you're absolutely miserable. Like, at what point in time do you just go, okay, this my parents are not do not care about my well-being, so why am I putting myself through this for them? Like, I mean, and I mean, it was a different time. It was the early 80s. It's not like everybody was really having kind of conversations about mental health and stuff like that. It's just a different kind of way of looking at it. But I also just, I don't know, I just felt like I would have liked to have seen more characterization, because I mean, it's like, honestly, the only thing I'm like, okay, well, he liked music, and he liked wrestling, and he liked it but didn't like it. And they all loved
Oh,
each other,
yeah. Oh, Mike, yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I still enjoyed it. I enjoyed it while I was watching it. But like you said, I mean, it's not one I'm gonna go and watch again, and not just because, it's heartbreaking. I've certainly watched plenty of heartbreaking movies before. It's that, kind of everything. It's not everything in it is not worth the emotional tax.
God, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I think it, for me, it landed a little better than that, but I still don't want to rewatch it. Yeah. But it's part of that thing. I don't know. I've always had this weird kind of soft spot for, I guess, sports-related movies, and especially, you know, ones that are, like, based on true stories. So I don't know what it is about that, but...
I do, too, for ones that end up being, for lack of a better word,
feel-good, like, stories.
Inspirational, yeah. Like, yeah. I love, like, Miracle is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
And they didn't even win that game. They tied it. Like,
right.
It's like
right.
And you know what happens. But I love that movie. Same thing with Seabiscuit. Like, mm-hmm. One, the performances in both of those films, the performances were outstanding. But I mean, you know, it's if I'm gonna have, you know, kind of these setbacks and whatnot, you want there to be kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. And ultimately there was for Kevin. Like, I mean, the scenes at the end with him and his kids, I thought were fantastic. Just the way that you know, I mean, those two actors were, those little boys were great. You know, and just the way that they kind of were able to give him something that his parents never could. At such a young age, where he's just like, shit, man, this is how it was kind of supposed to be. Like, but you know, it's calling it, I mean, inspirational is definitely not. So,
no,
you know, and I'm not like, it's, they still have to be like good movies. Like to me, the best sports movies are the ones where the outcome is in doubt, even though it's based on like Miracle. I still, when I watch it, I'm on the edge of my seat. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, are they going to tie this game? And it happened. Like,
like you already knew.
Right. Exactly. Like I could read it on Wikipedia. I could probably fucking watch the ESPN Classic, probably has it on demand where you could actually,
I bet it's on YouTube, to be honest.
Probably. Yeah. So it's like, you know, those are the ones that get me when it's in, you know, you're not sure whether this team or person or whatever is gonna make it. And then there's some movies where it's just like they try to do that, but for some reason it just doesn't work. Like, you just never ever feel like it's in doubt that they're gonna do the thing. So, you know, and this movie was like, I don't know, it also felt like what the sport they were in was killing all of them, so you didn't, like, I didn't want, like, them to wrestle and win, because you're like,
you're right,
that's
right,
just gonna put you right
doing.
Back
yeah
that's just gonna have your treadmill,
especially to carry, like, with the
exactly
getting hooked on, I guess, pain pills or whatever it was and all that shit, and
right,
his knee being completely obliterated, but he can't not do it,
right,
because he that's all he's ever known, and also is just still, for whatever reason, desperate for the approval of this asshole father who is, right, like, who for me is absolutely the villain of the movie, because,
oh,
good God, that dude's a monster.
Yeah. Played really well by Holt McCallany, who, if you watched Manhunter on Netflix, he was absolutely fantastic in that show. But yeah, I mean, this guy just, you know, is completely clueless as to what, and that's the thing, I don't know, and that's where, what I find interesting is, I don't know if he was clueless as to what it was doing to his family, or he knew what it was doing, it's just that he felt that the sacrifice was worth it, because eventually it would get them.
And the strong will survive. That's why he ranks them at fucking dinner. He's like, well,
it's like, that's why, like, I was surprised when you see Mike, you know, get in the ring, because it's like, what, once, when you are the last team in the standings, Every game allows you to not give a fuck. You can just play however you play.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey,
there's,
if
there's
music
no
makes
chance.
You happy and your father doesn't, maybe play music.
Like, what do you care? You're at the bottom of the ranking. You're not going to, you know,
exactly.
you're not getting up to the top, so you might as well just do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not like there's no like grand prize for coming in first all of a sudden, bro. Just don't worry about it.
Exactly. just do your thing. You're still in the family. They can go do their thing and you can just, you know, play rock music and get groupies and be happy.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, like I said, I thought it was worth watching. It was and the actors were very good with the roles they were given. But like you, I don't have an interest in watching it again. And and I think that I mean, the only movie I could see potentially is like Maestro was good, but it was also kind of I'm not gonna say it was a vanity project, but like there's so many aspects of Bernstein's life that they could have focused on. So to focus on the aspects they did, you're kind of like, I could kind of maybe make a point for that one to not have been in there. But like, you know, the other movies, I did not feel this was better than those. So, all right, now our big divisive. I really am surprised at your level of dislike for Lisa Frankenstein.
I feel like, I don't know. I don't feel like what I said was necessarily. I don't feel like I was too hard on it.
You know what? I'm never going to accuse anybody of being too hard on something. Either people feel how they feel about a thing. I just got the impression that you just really hated it.
We'll get into it.
Okay. So written by Diablo Cody, directed by Zelda Williams, with Catherine Newton as Lisa, and who played the Frankenstein guy? Whose name? Actually, we don't even really know what his name was. Do we know that his name was Frankenstein? Cole Sprouse. I don't think so. Cole Sprouse, who was. You know, Jughead, I believe, on
that
Riverdale.
I kept wanting him to be like 19 different people that he wasn't. I was like, oh, he's this guy. No, he's not. What are you like?
So Catherine Newton plays Lisa. And if you're kind of used to seeing Catherine Newton in her typical kind of like snarky.
Oh my God. He was the kid in Big Daddy. The Adam Sandler movie. He was Frankenstein. God, he's come full circle.
Yeah, exactly. His journey is complete. Wow.
Okay, sorry. I just was looking him up real quick, and I'm like, holy shit. Did not know that.
But so if you're kind of used to seeing Catherine Newton, like, I mean, she was on... You know, on Supernatural, she was Castiel's daughter. They tried to have that spinoff, the Wayward Sisters or whatever that she was in. She was in Freaky, which unfortunately, geez, talk about a pandemic casualty. That movie was fun as hell. And it left to the dustbin of history. She's in a lot of movies where she's kind of snarky, kind of badass. And this was a completely different type of role for her. So she plays this girl, Lisa, who's new to this town. Her mom had passed away, killed by like an axe murderer, of all things. The father had kind of moved on, remarried. And so she lived with her stepmom and her stepsister, Taffy, and, kind of goes to school, is somewhat misunderstood, mostly because she's kind of can't understand why her dad has just like, not only that he moved on so quickly, but that everyone seems to expect her to move on from her mother's death equally as quickly. And so she kind of like hangs out in the cemetery and she takes, this is set in like the early 90s, I'd say late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
So, you know, she does like wax rubbings of the tombstones, and there's one tombstone that she kind of hangs out under, and there's like a guy who kind of died, and she reads him poems and talks to him about her life. And then one day, lightning strikes the cemetery, and he gets reanimated and follows her back to her house. And then she realizes that if she kind of keeps electrocuting him, she can bring him further and further back to life. But he's missing some parts. He's missing an ear, he's missing a hand. We find out later he's missing other things. So it becomes her, she's trying to basically, you know, get him these parts. And they do not come willingly. Nobody's just like, "Hey, take my ear," and then you know, kind of give him a jolt to heal him, so to speak. So, I laughed like throughout the whole movie. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I loved seeing Catherine Newton in a completely different role for her. You know, for me, the humor was dead on. I'm a simple guy. And I guess one of the things I really liked about it is they did not do the normal thing and, you know, kind of play her sister as this bitchy stepsister. Like, her sister Taffy was this very kind, big-hearted, well-meaning girl who was basically just trying to help out her stepsister. And you know, they could have just gone down the typical,
Yeah,
you
the
know,
Mean
had that
Girls
go the
thing,
typical way where the sister's a bitch. The mom didn't like her, didn't like L Lisa at all, played by Carla Gugino. But you
Who
know,
I
they
love and who is horribly miscast.
And they could have done the same thing with Taffy, and they didn't, which then kind of adds a nice, like, for Lisa, you're kind of like, well, you don't really know how you're, and maybe this is to the detriment of the film. You're not sure, like, she becomes somewhat of a harder character to root for as things go on because she's being
Which
pretty
comes
selfish.
seemingly from out of nowhere.
Well, I think though the whole point is, yeah, well, the two people she chooses to off, one wasn't her choice, the and then the other one, that guy was pretty date rapey. So, you know,
Really? You think so?
a little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cuz I mean the whole isn't, cuz I mean she was drunk and he was, you know, that's how she first met him, is she was drunk at the party. And he was trying to take advantage of her.
Wait, not the nerdy kid.
Yeah.
He was they no, she didn't meet him at the party. They knew each other. They were lab partners or something.
No, but they met. She got drunk at the party with Taffy, and he was like trying to feel her up or whatever, at the party. That's why he then went with her to the cemetery, because she knew that he, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm misremembering that. Okay.
I mean, it's still not a reason to kill a dude, but I mean, he didn't like,
that's
you
the
know.
one. I was like, bro, he didn't even do anything.
Yeah. No, he, because that's why, that also why, like, when she took the hand, because he was feeling, or like he was handsy. So that's why it was like, oh,
Okay.
you know.
Maybe I misremembered. Yeah, maybe I misremembered that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because she was like, no, it's fine. He's not using
Yeah.
it for good. Like,
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that checks out.
so I'm curious then as to what, like I said, I loved it. I laughed throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't even know if I cracked a smile, to be honest.
So is it
I
just,
just.
it's just not your type of humor, or are you just, what
Well, I
was
mean,
it?
listen, you say you laughed at it and you said you're a simple person. Like, Jesus Christ, they don't get much more simple than me. I am not layered, bro. Like, there's not a lot going on up there, okay?
That's not
So
true.
I just sat there and I watched this movie try to be so many other movies that I like way better than this one. It tried to be it reminded me of Ginger Snaps. It reminded me of May. It reminded me of so many things. And then it desperately wanted, I felt like, wanted to have this quirky, like, Tim Burton vibe that it just missed every bit of the charm of that. Like, it had the green and purple lighting, and it had all these things, but then, like, it just, none of it was, like, funny to me. I'm just sitting there like, okay. And then it gets so dark out of nowhere, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then I was sitting there, and I was like, you know, this, I was watching it. I watched it by myself, and I was sitting there kind of thinking, and maybe this is my fault, because I, you know, Diablo Cody wrote it, so. But I'm like, this feels like the kind of thing maybe the, like, Katie might like to watch.
See, and to me, that
and then he's,
I felt like it was trying to be a less, a lower rated, almost like a lower rated Jennifer's Body to some
degree. Right. I guess, but when you mix something like that with what I felt like was obviously, you know, a Tim Burton aesthetic, you don't necessarily expect so many douche jokes and dick stuff. Like, I was just like, what, who is this for?
Yeah. Like, I will agree that it I mean, given the PG-13, it's kind of in that weird space where I would think that it's, you really do have to take the 13 into account, because there is a lot of kind of sexual talk, and but it's not like, it's not
and listen, I'm not a moron. I know that my daughter sees way worse shit than this on her phone on a daily basis, probably. But at the same time, I don't necessarily want to be sitting in the room with her, you know, when a dick's getting ripped off. That's just not what, you know, I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I would agree with you from the standpoint of, you know, who is the target audience for this film. I could definitely see, you know, kind of not being sure as to kind of what age range or whatever that it's kind of going for. But, you know, I tend to, sometimes when I watch a movie, I just go, well, I liked it, so that's fine.
Yeah, I absolutely. I wanted to like it. I assumed I would, to be honest, just based on what I knew about it.
Yeah.
And it just, for whatever reason, I don't know, it just didn't hit for me like I hoped it would. And I think, again, I think a bigger part of it, you know, less so about my being surprised at how I felt like it was almost marketed at a younger crowd than I think should be watching this type of stuff. But more of it just came from the fact that I was like, again, I've seen this movie done so many other times and so much better that I'm just like, I don't.
Yeah. And I guess the question is whether or not it is trying to, like, be like, I think calling, I personally feel like calling it a horror movie is not.
No, it's not.
It's a disadvantage, like, because then you do start making comparisons to films that I don't know if it kind of deserves those comparisons.
I 100% I agree with you. I hate doing that, and that's why I try
They do it. I mean, how it's marketed.
I try to go into. That's why I stopped. I've tried to, like, make a conscious effort to just go more into things blindly than I used to. Because of shit like this, where I feel like I don't understand, or even, for Christ's sake, let's not get me started on fucking Blumhouse and their latest fucking debacle.
Right.
But it's like, and the thing is, Bloom, however the fuck you say it, when he's like, he gets called out on their bullshit, he doesn't deny it. He owns up to it. He's like, yeah, we show everything in the trailer, but we get asses in seats, so we're going to keep doing it.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you can go fuck yourself.
Right.
Like, but it's not like my $8 is going to make a difference.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But it's like, even if you look in the IMDb page, where it's like a coming of rage love story, that is not at all. Like, she is not.
Nope.
She's if any, I mean, if anything, she's kind of sad at how she feels like people are moving on beyond her. This is not like an angry teenager who is wreaking vengeance on, you know, the
see, not a, I agree 100%. And I think that's part of my other issue with it is just the weird left turns that this movie makes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because, you know, she's just like a kind of a cool horror adjacent weird girl. Mm-hmm. And who's had a horrible thing happen.
Right.
And she's thrust into a not great situation. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And then she's murdering people so that the kid from Big Daddy can have a new ear. I mean, it's like, what? This is not the same person we were introduced to.
But I do feel, though, that, I mean, the first time it wasn't her.
And right. Then, the ear was a bad example. But I
and
just.
And then the second just, time, I don't know if she meant for him to get killed. I don't know if they didn't feel like there was a lot of planning going on there. She never actually kills anybody. It's always him.
Right.
But
right,
she's also right. Perfectly okay with it. Exactly. And in fact, they actually have a scene where the police officer sees them and they could have killed her. And he just like picks her up and drops her in the grave and is just like, see ya. So and that's why, like, yeah, it is kind of like them to kind of pattern this as, you know, this wrathful teenager who's like, you know, murdering people to build a. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was about this girl who I thought it was like.
I did too.
Yeah, like a May, where she's like killing people purposefully to harvest their organs and whatnot. So then when I started watching it and I realized that this is not what this is at all,
right?
I was like, well, I actually like this movie a lot better.
And that's, you know, that's the thing. I don't know if I read or I heard a description of this movie. And it was like, basically she's a senior and she's trying to lose her virginity. So she's building this. For lack of a better descriptor,
like
Frankenstein.
A sex bot.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not at all what's happening.
No.
None of that makes, I don't know what the fuck movie they saw or whatever. But again, there's just so many, it's such a weird movie. And it obviously, the people whose job it is to market shit like this had no idea what the fuck it was either, because the movie that I read about or I heard about, whatever, and the one I watched were completely different.
Same. Absolutely same. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, it seems like it would have been a pretty easy movie to market.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it was so difficult for them to figure out what it is they were doing with it. I'll gladly watch it again.
I'm going to buy it. I mean, mm-hmm. If they give it a physical, like I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I guess I was expecting something else maybe. And that's on me, not on the movie. And then, like I said, I just felt like the tone was all over the place a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's trying to, the one thing I will say is given that, you know, Cole Sprouse there, Baby Daddy or Daddy Frank.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Yep. Big Daddy Fat Sacks. you know, his entire performance, with the exception of like 30 seconds at the end, there's no talking. It's all just done with, you know, his facial expression and gestures. And I thought he did a fantastic job to give her someone to act opposite where, you know, they're not able to say anything. You're just kind of getting... he's kind of getting everything across just by emoting. I thought he was really well done. You know, I tried watching Riverdale for a while and then that show got too weird even for me. So I peaced out pretty early and it sounds like that was the right thing to do because it just got even more super weird.
But, I watched the first season and I thought it was pretty good. And then I didn't care enough to get into the second one. So,
it got super weird. They had
so take that for what it's worth.
I don't know if aliens were involved, but it was a weird.
Yeah, I'm not an Archie person anyway.
Yeah.
The my extent of enjoying Archie is that I know what it is, and I laughed at the jokes at the beginning of Chasing Amy, and then about Archie fucking Mr. Weatherby, and then
that's just classics,
right?
Yeah, like why wouldn't you?
And I really liked the horror stuff they were doing.
Yeah,
that for whatever reason seemed to be like an opportunity for them to print money, and they just couldn't get it out on a monthly basis or even a semi-monthly basis, and then it just stopped. Mm-hmm. So that Sabrina book was fucking fantastic.
Unlike the TV show, which somehow they make Sabrina boring. Explain that to me.
But that Sabrina book that I forget who wrote it, but that shit was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was an adult reader's super dark witchcraft, the devil. Mm-hmm. Like, it was such a good book. And I remember, I think they released maybe 3 or 4 issues when it initially dropped. And then within the next year, there was one more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how fucking off that this, I don't know what, you know, mm-hmm. the problem was, but. And that issue that came out almost a year later was really good. And I don't know if they ever did another one. So,
well, maybe they're still working on it.
Could be. I don't know. My fingers are so far away from the pulse of modern comics these days, which is sad.
Yeah.
For me to say, but they're just so fucking bad. I mean, I still buy them. I just don't read them. That's because I'm a fucking idiot. But yeah, here we are.
What can you do?
Yeah.
I haven't read, God, I have so many things that I've got, like, I'll see them on sale, like, oh, for the Kindle, it's like, oh, shit, I get this whole 12-issue run for $3? Hell yeah! It's like Steam games, where it's like, you gonna read it? Oh, of course not. Why would I do that?
Yeah. That's not what I buy these for.
Exactly.
It was cheap.
I buy them to keep them in the cloud, and then when I go, I feel like reading a comic, scroll through them all and be like, that's too many to pick from.
None of this looks good.
Well, they all look good, but then I'm like, well...
Yeah, that's also the problem.
Maybe
yeah.
there's been 6 other runs since then. Yeah. I won't know what's going on.
What's on sale this week?
Does Superman still fly?
Probably not, to be honest. Yeah. Jesus Christ. This new stuff.
Yeah, these kids today.
Right.
Like, that makes people who walk feel bad. Like, all right. Sorry. That's bad. That's an old person thing to do. I apologize.
It's true, though. Just saying.
He's not inspirational.
Right.
I can't fly. Now I'm triggered.
Yeah, right. Like, we're comics about fat losers who play video games and read comic books all the time. They don't exist. Everything doesn't need to be represented.
Shit, we could write that.
Where's my comic?
Exactly. Where's the comic for the person who wakes up and goes, fuck? And that's the energy they bring into every encounter for the entire day.
Right. Please. Christ, don't let a supervillain show up, because I'd be like, yeah, I don't. What am I going to do?
It's like when I woke up this morning and my dog had shat on the floor 3 times, and I wasn't mad. I just went, yeah. Like,
yep, that tracks. Yeah.
Like, it's not, what's there to be?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'd be excited if I woke up and there wasn't dog shit. I don't even have a dog.
I don't know how it's getting in here at night.
Right.
All right. So Guardian Games started 2 weeks ago. It's been I hope it's been a learning experience for people at Bungie, because there's been some lessons I think you could pull from it. The big thing about this season was the Skimmer, which is a hoverboard, which is fucking amazing, by the way.
That's so fun.
Except for when you're in a strike with someone who already wanted to blow through everything and now can just grind their way to the next objective. But so they gave you this Skimmer. So of course, Guardian Games is like, hey, you get medallions and you put the medallions in, and then your class and who's the best class and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, it's not a super popular event. It's not like a major, it's not an expansion. Right. It's not something you pay for. It's one of these free things where it's like, hey,
right,
here's Destiny, but like slightly different Destiny.
Right. But then they gave you the skimmer and they're like, oh, you get the skimmer, it's free. You just get it through the first quest. Space Grandma gives it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it goes away at the end of Guardian Games. Yep. But here's a quest where you can get one that doesn't go away. Oh, by the way, you can also buy one in the store for what will end up being $30 because of the way that they tier the silver.
That's true.
The bundles you get, you have to pay $30 real money. Mm-hmm. You won't spend all of that silver to get the skimmer, but you'll spend that much money to get the silver, and then you have some left over. So this quest that they did that says, oh, you can get it, is like there's three ways you can get it. Way one, be in the top 10% of scores for the Nightfall, and the Nightfall changes every day. Virtually impossible for most people because of all of the people, streamers, sweaty tryhards, people without jobs, who sit at home all day and play Destiny and just know every nook and cranny.
Basically, you're right. Basically, they see the code. They're in the fucking Matrix.
Yeah, they are solo, you know, fucking Grandmaster Nightfalls, and they are pushing the score up into just unattainable levels.
And immediately.
Right at reset. So if you thought, okay, I'll jump on immediately.
When I get off work, you're fucked.
And it's like, nope, I hope you can get 310,000 with this guy over here who still thinks emoting gives
extra
when you're going champs. And you're like, bro, that doesn't work anymore. Do something else. And he's like, nope, hit him with a chair. Oh, 250 points? Awesome. Thanks.
Yep.
Or this guy who already has a skimmer and he's just looking to get a medal. So he just fucking Tony Hawks his way through the encounter. And you're just like, bam, slow down, come back. So that was one way to get it. The other way was to get three winners packages. So this year they did something different where they said, okay, for 2 hours at a time, 3 hours at a time on the weekend, there's something's going to be the focused activity. Maybe it's Nightfall, maybe it's Gambit, maybe it's Crucible. And whatever class gets the most points so if you're a hunter and you played the focused activity and then hunters ended up winning, then you would automatically get a winner's package.
Hey,
the problem is at the beginning of Guardian Games, for the first week anyway, the only people winning were hunters. And hunters had more points than the Titans and the Warlocks combined.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, and so then everybody started playing, just rolling a character, or if they already had one, even if it wasn't their main, they'd play as a hunter, which then completely broke matchmaking, because matchmaking would have been based on, for like Gambit or for Crucible, it was like, oh, you would do a team of Warlocks versus a team of hunters, or a team of Titans versus a team of Warlocks. Well, when everyone's a hunter, you can't do that. So people would sit in the queue for like 30 minutes trying to get into a match and then just to have it die.
Right.
So they said, okay, well, we'll just get rid of all the matchmaking in the first place. And then there's the last way, which is what I've been doing, which is just get 1,200 medallions, which is a fuck ton of medallions, except for the fact that you could watch a Twitch streamer for 2 hours, or in my case, have a Twitch streamer on in a tab that I'm not even looking at while I work during the day. That gives you a diamond medallion that you could then redeem for 300 points. And so if you get three of those, one each week, and then 300 points worth of regular medals, which was pretty easy to do if you were going for all the other stuff. So once again, Bungie makes these, like, they are so, they have so many instances where they have a thing, and in order to get that thing, it goes against the spirit of the event in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, if the idea was that you want classes to play against classes, but everybody is pledging to just one class because it's the easiest way for them to get this thing, then that completely breaks the whole reason behind the event in the first place.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, and this is, I think, a prime example of it, where it's, you know, people complain about Destiny still, and everybody seems to, like, so desperately want Destiny to be a dead game, and, like, there's so many videos, dead game, dead, right? But fuck around and let them drop one new thing.
Yeah.
And watch the player count spike like a motherfucker. But yes. But they also, no matter how Bungie tries to balance the grind versus the reward, they can't make everybody happy, right? And that's probably my favorite thing that the Helldivers 2 guy said. Mm-hmm. He's like, if you're making a game for everybody, you're making a game for nobody.
Right.
And Bungie is like so tries so hard to balance this game for everyone. You know, because everybody wants the loot. Everybody wants loot, but they want it as quickly as possible so they could stop playing the game again.
Right.
And this is a prime example of that. Everybody wanted that hoverboard. They wanted it fucking in 2 days. And that's why you see, you know, what happened with something like this. It's a great idea, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, the Guardian Games is a super cool thing. The spirit of competition and, the playing the classes against each other. But when they introduce something new like the Skimmer, everybody's going to want it. And they want it today, and they don't want to fucking, Even though they give you multiple ways to earn it. No, I need it today.
Well, that's part of it too, right? Like, yeah, they give you multiple ways to earn it, but you know, one of those way, I mean, how realistic would it be for, I mean, even without the loot dropping, the people that sit at home and the content creators, I mean, they alone are going to boost.
Yeah, the score thing,
the Nightfall scores. Up too high.
Right.
The focused packages, absolute 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
That's just, right. You know, I mean, the easiest thing would have just been like, you could have just said, hey, if you complete all of the cards, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would have been the easiest way. Right. Mm-hmm. Like then you've got people just doing everything. They're playing Crucible. They're getting medallions. They're doing Nightfalls. They're doing platinum cards, all that stuff. And it still takes time. And the people who want to burn through it can do it, and it's not to the detriment of the rest of the player base. If anything, it's beneficial because those people are ready for matchmaking and supporting, you know, being able to get paired up, to go against a different class. But the minute you like that, and you said it perfect. The minute this thing drops, it's like, I mean, people just cannot. Like, I looked at it and I went, once I saw that you would get the diamond, I was like, oh, all right, I'll get it. Like, it wasn't. Yeah. I was like, well, why am I going to bust? I was actually playing the other night, and I had enough medallions at that point. I had like 900 some odd, and I was like, what am I doing? I don't need to do this. Like I went to try to get the high score in the Nightfall, the platinum score, so I could get that last chest. And I'm like, I've already gotten every gun that comes out of these chests like a million times over. I just need to get my last diamond one, and I have a week to do it. Like, why am I doing this? And I just put it away. I went did something else.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, for all of these people who are just like keep talking about how dead the game is, they also can't seem to stop playing it, which I don't understand. Like, if you really think the game doesn't have anything to offer, then why are you spending so much time in it?
Why do you need a skimmer? You know, like
exactly.
If you're going to be done with the game once you get it, why does it even fuck? It's fucking FOMO, man. FOMO is such a big deal for Destiny.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to Bungie's credit, I think that's what you need at this point for this game after 10 years, you know, because it still has to make money and it's obviously not making a whole lot.
Especially and I think the way that things have been going when you hear, you know, what Sony's saying.
Yeah. And so I think that's why, because we get typically for Guardian, something like Guardian Games, we get a reskin of a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking that, the Hullabaloo, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking Edge Transit.
Right. Which was got a million.
Which has been, was memed to death. And Fidelity too. But they drop it and they put a couple of new perks on it and everybody gets excited, right? And well, certain people do. People who like me who still play the game. But obviously the game's in trouble and they need, and so then they out of nowhere drop a fucking skimmer and everybody loses their shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's the way it works. And then they play into the FOMO, right? For the people who are like, oh God, I'll never get all these medals done. I can't, I'm a warlock. I'm not going to win the packages because the hunters are, mm-hmm. the population is so high. And then I can't get the 10% because I have to work all day and stuff. Right. And they're like, don't worry, we got you, fam. Remember that rocket launcher you liked so much?
Mm-hmm.
Spend $30. We got you.
Yeah.
Get you a Gjallarhorn themed skimmer.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And I mean, it's just there's ways that you can make it so that people can get this, some of this stuff without, you know, and still allow them to embrace the purpose of the event in the first place.
Yes.
but I mean so many times, right? Like, I mean, they'll even if it's just like bounties or things like that, where it's like, you know, you're in a Nightfall and some person's trying to use 15 finishers. And it's like,
you're right.
Maybe not now, but it's like, well, you know, in their defense, they're like, yeah, it might be something for a catalyst or whatever that they have to do. And they're just like, what am I supposed to do? I mean,
yeah, this is my 1-2 hour window this week that I get to play a video game, you know?
Right. Right.
Which Destiny is not the game for that guy. But again, who am I to say? You know what I mean? I love the game, so I get it.
Right.
But yeah, still stuff like that. It's like, good luck, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that being said, it was kind of fun that the way that they tweaked the Nightfall to where with the improved, you know, ability regeneration and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a fucking hoot. Like, I've
had a blast with Guardian games.
I mean,
I'm a hunter, so
yeah, yeah. But even so, like, I mean, as a warlock, like, I mean, I got back, you know, when the I'd forgotten how much fun Strand is, because when you can pop off your tether constantly and just, like, you know what I mean, like, or your abilities regenerate to the point where you can take out like basically every champ with a super, like that's an amazing feeling.
Well, especially when, like we talked about, when the artifact only gives one. You know, one or two weapons for, you know, whatever the champ type is, and they might not be weapons that you enjoy using. So,
right.
So having, you know, like before we had Strand and before we had the ice one.
Oh, Stasis.
Stasis. We didn't have any other way to stun champs except for whatever the weapon was. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's, I think, one of the biggest improvements to the game they've ever done.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun. I mean, it's like what you hope, though. This would be, I think, I'm completely expecting, excuse me, this to happen, is that the skimmers end up breaking the game somehow and they just, like, get rid of them.
Well, yeah, they already did. I mean, the people who are using them to skip major segments or crashing the game for other people.
Yeah.
I think maybe they fixed that, but still.
Yeah, I think they did too, yeah. But,
yeah. Like, loading, crashing people because you're getting through loading zones too fast.
Yeah. I can see there ending up being something like that further on down the line that that they end up.
Oh, yeah. The players who play Destiny are nowhere near done trying to ruin Destiny with skimmers.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a speedrunner's dream. Where
you're right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Hand me my clipping shorts. and then, so I've just been playing, like everybody else, a fuck ton of Balatro, or however the hell you say it. Like, this game is just addicting as hell. I love card-based roguelikes, however you say it. I'm better at this one than I am at, like, Slay the Spire, and I think it's because, you know, I've spent way more time playing card games with a regular deck of cards than I have with, like, a robot that shoots plasma balls. So It's just much easier for me to strategize and synergize with something as easy as a poker hand. But there's also like an incredible amount of depth, especially, once you get into unlocking all the different jokers and the tarot cards and I just realized, like, I have played a shit ton of this game. I didn't realize until this weekend that before you play a hand, you can rearrange the cards so that if you have jokers that only trigger off of like the first card, that you're able to say, oh, well, I want. Like a perfect example was, you might have like an ace, which would get you 11 points, and then, but you also have like a king, but that king, has like a multi on it, so it gets even more points. So it's like, and then you have like something that maybe doubles the first hand or re-triggers the first hand that you play. Well, you might just pick the cards because of the way that they're organized, so that like you're doing ace, king, queen, jack, ten, right? Like a straight. Well, you can swap the king and the ace so that's the first card that gets scored. So that gets triggered twice. And I didn't even realize you could do that up until this weekend. And at that point, I'd already beating the game with two different decks, and I was like, fuck. So it's like all of these little things that you kind of discover along the way, and just little ways of tweaking the strategy and how, a lot of times in roguelikes, it's just the way it goes, right? Like you get a garbage run, not things don't go your way, and you just kind of go, all right, well, you either quit or you see how far you can go. But I feel like this game, you can be halfway through a run and you're like, I don't really have stuff that's working together, but you get the right combination of cards, like jokers or something, and then you might be able to start building a strategy that is enough to take you through the late game. So it's very forgiving in that regard. But there's also plenty of times where I'm just like, these cards do not work at all together. And it's like, yeah, you'll get through the first, four or five blinds, but then you're just like when you first start playing the game and you do a hand and it's like 2,000 chips, you're like, oh my God. And then you get to a point where you're like, you get 2,000 chips and you're like, fuck, there's no way I'm gonna win if I'm only throwing down 2,000 chips. Like, but it's a really good game. I mean, it's just a really good game. So highly recommended.
Yeah, I've watching or reading you and Silo talk about it in the Discord has been fun, and also it's like I know it's not going to be a thing I will ever do. It's so not for me. But speaking of things that aren't for people, shout out once again to the brilliant minds at Microsoft who came out with Game Pass. Because, well, for number one, I went to Auburn this weekend with Katie, and I because Walmart is sort of like heroically picking up the mantle that Best Buy has left in the world with physical copies of movies, and not surprisingly, there's not a goddamn Walmart anywhere near me who are stocking any of these fucking things. There's
Really?
these steel books and Blu-rays coming out, and I watch motherfuckers on YouTube go buy them, and then I go to Walmart and there's like I don't know, a fucking Jeff Gordon documentary and fucking whatever bullshit Jesus movie the Lifetime Network put out this week,
Yeah.
and nothing else. And I'm just like, all right, well, not for me. Okay. But so I went to the Walmart in Auburn looking for, there's a Creepshow steelbook I really want, because the, not that I don't own Creepshow in multiple formats, I absolutely do, but this has new artwork and I like it. So I need to spend $30 on it because
Sure.
I'm an idiot. And they didn't have that, but we were just kind of walking around looking through the electronic, the media section there and stuff, and I walked past the Xbox case, and good Lord, thank you, Game Pass, for a person who still likes to buy physical media. Because I was just looking at this, I was like looking at these games, and I was like, is this serious? Is this for real? So I bought Wild Hearts for $10.
Wild Hearts. Oh my God. The EA, the
the box game that I was like, you kept saying you have to build boxes, and I heard you say that. $10.
Jesus.
So I bought that. I bought the collector's edition of that Hot Wheels game that was on the PS Plus that we got from PS Plus, which is super fucking fun.
Yeah.
I bought the collector's big box collector's edition that comes with an exclusive Hot Wheel. Not that I buy Hot Wheels. Also $10.
Nice.
I bought last year's WWE game, which I'm not a big wrestling person, but also it like they revamped the controls and did all these things, and it reviewed really, really well. Mm-hmm. And they added back, I guess, the like career mode and all this kind of stuff. And like people were very excited for it, for that game. And it also like it has a luchador on the cover, and I really like the artwork. And again, because I'm an idiot, $10. And then I bought Yakuza Like a Dragon steelbook with a slip with a sleeve on it.
What?
$10. $10.
Jesus.
I was like, come on, son. Please keep that shit going. Put more things on Game Pass. So I can buy
Is it because it's on Game Pass, or is it because they said they're like,
well, also Xbox,
out.
Xbox is like, yeah, no, we're not. We already lost. It is what it is. So nobody gives a shit about Xbox. But anyway,
I can't tell you how many times I've gone to Walmart and then I've looked at this guy and I'm like, are you seriously selling a PS3 copy of Red Faction Guerrilla for $45? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I know. But I see, like, I watch a lot of like video game content on YouTube and stuff, and a lot of it is like most of it's retro stuff because I'm super into retro, but they'll be like, yo, check your Walmarts because they have these things, and I'm like, mine's not gonna have that. Mm-hmm. And mine absolutely doesn't, the one here in town, but this is the first time I've ever been anywhere near here, and I was like, holy shit, this is what they're talking about. And there were even other things that I didn't pick up because I had to stop at some point, right? Because I'm not a baller. But but man, for $40 for the stuff that I got, I was very excited. But anyway, so speaking of Game Pass, I downloaded this game because, again, I talked about before, I'm trying to get my my points for the rewards thing, right? And they upped the goddamn thing after I got within like 500.
It.
Yeah,
they heard, like, they listened to the show. We're big,
exactly.
We're huge in Redmond.
Well, I mean, Billy G loves Divided by Werewolves. Okay,
I know he does.
So
he's like, lower those prices at Walmart, but don't make it easy for him.
Right, don't give him any rewards.
Yeah,
like, oh shit,
let him hunt for it. He'll appreciate it more. No handouts.
But so Game Pass continues to be this outlet for me to and I think that's the point, right? It's an outlet for me to find out about games I never would have found out about, or to give things a chance that I never probably would have played. And So for me, one of the weekly challenges every week is to earn an achievement in Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So I download a lot of shit, but I'm hoping there's an early, easy achievement, and then I immediately uninstall them. Mm-hmm. And most of them are the games that look like they probably should be like handheld gaming things. Mm-hmm. But I downloaded this game. So I was calling it Gris.
Isn't that what it's called?
Well, I don't know, because I was watching Autistic the other morning, and I forget what he's playing. Oh, he's playing that, not Summoners, but there's some new game that I thought was going to be more horror adjacent, and it turns out it's just a bunch of magic bullshit, and I don't care about it. but anyway, and I had brought it up that I've been playing the shit out of this game. And I only downloaded it because I like the art style, you know, which is how I ended up playing that Sea of Solitude or whatever game.
Yep.
He called it Gris, and he's way smarter than I am.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
That sounds like that makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bunch of fucking yokels.
I know.
Oh, are you playing that Gris?
G-R-I-S. It says Gris. Well, Ninja Gaiden. Like, I don't know. It is a first and foremost fucking gorgeous game. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous. Just the art style, the artwork, the animations. It essentially, it's a 2D puzzle platformer, which I know are your favorites.
I love them so much.
Yeah.
I hope it's the only way that could be better if it was first person.
It's not.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, it's a 2D side scroller, but man, I'm in love with this game. Mm. To the point to where, like, I played it 3 days this week, and then I got on my phone to see if there was a physical copy that I could buy.
Did you check Walmart?
I did not. I didn't. But Amazon came through, and I think it was a limited run thing, so I paid way too much money for a physical copy on the Switch, mm-hmm. which I'll never play because I'm playing on the Xbox. But... man, it's so good, dude. It's so good. So if you have Game Pass and you like yourself a almost sort of anime inspired art style with your 2D puzzle platformer, and that's the thing, right? It's like it's not overly complicated. It's you walk with obviously the left stick, and initially, the only other button that you have is A to jump.
Ooh.
And then as you progress through the levels, she gets kind of certain other abilities, but it's always like super simple. Like, mm-hmm. like there's a wind level, and then she finds this thing where if you hold down X, cause her, like, I guess her dress or her clothing, like, becomes kind of the catalyst for how she has these powers and stuff. So her dress, like, turns into a block, and the block is heavy, so the wind doesn't blow you away and shit like that, right?
Okay.
And then by the third level, you get a double jump, but I'm enjoying this game in the way that I feel like people like Journey.
Mm, okay.
And Journey for me was boring as fuck. Like, I didn't get it.
I started it and then was like, we're good.
I was like, you know, it didn't do it for me. Yeah. It was gorgeous, the art, and I finished it, but the art I thought was great, but I just, for whatever reason, I was just like, people are losing their shit for this. But then this game comes along, I'm like, oh, it's the best thing ever. So, like, I guess I get it.
Yeah.
But very good. Good
game. I'm looking at it now. Oh, interesting. Oh, it's a Devolver game. Okay.
Which is the other thing. I was like, fuck, if I'd have known that, I'd have already played it.
Yeah.
I fucking love Devolver.
Yeah, they put out some good shit for sure. Yeah. Well, the next time you need an achievement path, like a game, that Return to Grace game, like I was telling you, those mm-hmm. achievements come fast. I mean, you can basically, like, within the first 5 minutes, you'll have one.
Nice.
And it's, you know.
Yeah, so Gree, not so much. But but it was so good. It just hooked me.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of reminded me of when I played Edith Finch. I was just mm-hmm. like, I did not expect to like this at all. And Jesus God, I couldn't stop playing it. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the longest I've gone. I mean, not counting like Balatro, but this is the longest I've gone without renting anything or buying anything, because you know, I knew coming into the kind of the holiday season, like, I had asked for the Star Wars the Legacy collection on Switch for Christmas, and that, you know, had Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, and which I already finished, and then
nice
Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, Force Unleashed, and what's it Rebel Commando or whatever it is,
Republic Commando.
Yeah. That's, I mean, just a fuck ton of content there, And then, you know, I still have a ton of games on the that I bought for the Steam Deck when the fall sale was on. And then, you know, Game Pass, like I played, you know, Like a Dragon Ishin. I played Like a Dragon, The Man Who Erased His Name. You know, so right now I'm playing Pillars of Eternity, which is the Obsidian kind of like Infinity Engine type of game. I mean, it's fine. But, you know, all of this is because, like, once, you know, obviously Destiny, but, like, once Baldur's Gate 3 hits, that is going to be, like, I can't wait just to jump in and play it. So I thought to myself, well, why am I going to, and this way, too, like, I go, God, well, when I go get through all these games and I want to play something new, I mean, I'm going to have so much shit. Like, I cannot wait for Rise of the Ronin. Like, normally, I feel like I can't wait to get that and play it day one, but because that's going to be coming, hopefully, around the same time, like, Baldur's Gate 3 finally gets to me, I'm like, well, shit, I'll wait. And then that means in the summer, maybe when there isn't something to play, I'll pick that up. Or God, even, you know, could I be so lucky as to be able to wait until Black Friday? Who knows? But my point is, like, I used to really feel like, and I think in part it was because, well, if I was spending money every month to rent games via Gamefly, then, you know, you're spending $25. You feel like I have an obligation at that point to myself to make sure I'm getting use out of the service. That's why
the service never made sense for me, but I love their fucking sales.
Yeah.
Like,
so it was like, okay, I always looked at it as long as the amount of the games that I played saved me, like if I were to buy them at the store, if it saved me more than $25, then it came out ahead.
Yeah.
But I mean, kind of going into the end of last year, it was just like, there really wasn't all that much. It wasn't so much that there wasn't anything new to play. I mean, there was, but like, it just really wasn't anything that was grabbing me. And then I was looking at all of the stuff I was getting. And I now having played The Man Who Erased His Name, I absolutely am going to start. I'm going to, because I've already played Zero.
Right.
I'm absolutely going to play all the Yakuza games. And I just
didn't. I live for the day when I have the time to do that. I really do.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a, for me, being such a Sega nerd and loving stuff like Shenmue as much as I do, and that's such a glaring like omission from my experience in gaming.
Yeah, and I mean it's, but those are ones where it's like, you know, I look at them like, you know, sometimes you might have like a hankering for a certain type of food, but like you don't eat it like all the time. You just
exactly
you got a craving. Like the other day, I was my wife had taken her mom out to lunch, and I was like, well, I gotta go to we need to go to Walmart and pick some things up. Like, we drink their like, they have their this like flavored carbonated water at Walmart.
Bro, don't even get me started.
It's like crap.
That's all I drink. That's all I drink.
We fill the whole fucking cart up
with the spare
fridge in the garage that we've been just dragging from house to house is just filled with it.
I ended up signing up for Walmart Plus just so I don't have to be bothered to go to Walmart.
That is an amazing idea.
When I learned that they will deliver your groceries,
I started doing that with Kroger because the fucking Publix down here like raping you on grocery prices. So anyway,
I feel so bad for who has to pull my orders because they're like, Jesus Christ, how many of these fucking waters can this guy drink?
They're so good.
I'm drinking one right now. I have the peach one in my
cup. I am drinking the canned seltzer, pineapple coconut. It's like having a daiquiri, but not.
right.
Yeah. When I saw that they had canned seltzer, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is this the future? Anyway, this is what 194 episodes get you, folks.
That's right. Buckle in.
We no longer care about you. We appreciate you, but we just don't care.
This is what you get if you're listening to a podcast about two middle-aged white men talking. Okay, first of all, we're going to talk about seltzer waters. Okay, yeah,
and delivery options.
If you're shocked, that's on you.
But like, I had to go to Walmart, and then as a joke, because my wife was taking my mother-in-law out to lunch. She's like, where are you going to go to lunch? I was like, well, there's a Burger King right there. Like, I haven't had Burger King in forever. Maybe I'll go to Burger King. Ha, ha, ha. But then I was like, God damn, now I want Burger King. I ate my Burger King, and I was like, I'm good with Burger King for a while.
That is exactly how I respond to Burger King. I only have it once a year.
Right.
And I try to save it for the Halloween season when they put out their Halloween-themed Whoppers.
Yep.
And so, I have one of those, and I'm good till next October.
It's kind of like a Yakuza game. I don't want to play nothing but them.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it while I'm playing it, but then when I'm done with it, I'm like, all right, let's just go to do something else for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of am looking at, just what's coming down the line, and there's some really cool games coming down the line, but I'm also, for like the first time in like a long time, just very content to just like go into Game Pass and be like, oh, what's this indie game, or what's this, you know, this thing that I didn't play before, or give something else a try, or you know, whatever. And I mean, I'm paying for it, so this is the way to use it.
Also same. Yeah
That's
I shouldn't just use it for easy achievements for my rewards.
Hey, that's a, I mean, but if it's getting you stuff, then.
But yeah, I'm using it, so that kind of counts, right? Exactly. It's not like I keep buying fucking games and all I play is Destiny. So
that reminds me, actually, I have a $5 promotional credit from Microsoft, and they're like, "You got to use it before like the end of March," and I'm just like, "What the fuck can I buy for?
What are you gonna buy? Yeah, I don't know. You can't even get any silver for that. Like, what is that?
I know." Maybe I'll have to see if there's like some shitty game on sale just for the fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll buy like a 360 game. Maybe I'll buy like Burnout Paradise Remastered for the 900th time.
So, speaking of that, just I know we're like wrapping up, but I've been helping my friend Jesse out on his show, Damage Per Pod, right? And so I've been having such a good time replaying 360 era games, PS3 era games, stuff like that. So right now I'm playing The Darkness 2 again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love those games.
Yes. Yes. Same. And so I'm having such a fucking blast playing The Darkness 2. But I was watching,
Jackie.
Yeah. Mike, what's his nuts from Faith No More, living his life. So dope. But do you remember the game Enslaved? Odyssey to the West or
yes.
something?
Yes. Yeah.
I never played that.
That game is great. Yeah.
I never played it. And that's actually why I went to – that's the other reason I went to Auburn yesterday, because they have a game exchange. And that's the only kind of outlet for me for retro around here. And I was hoping to get it on 360, but they only had it on PS3, so I did buy it. But so the things I didn't know about this game I was watching a YouTube video or something, and somebody was like, best 360 games or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Or like games that need a sequel or deserve a sequel or something. And I was like, I remember the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that doesn't look like anything I would like. I don't know. I just the character models and the art style and this and that. I just kind of, for whatever reason, wasn't interested in it. And then I was listening about it. Fucking Alex Garland wrote that game.
Alex and Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis did the mocap.
Jesus
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I had to go buy it. Like, oh my God. Like, apparently it was supposed to be an animated film initially. And when
it was a riff off of, the Journey to the West.
Yeah.
The Chinese.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we basically, he started a notes thing on his iPhone that he's included me in. So we've been like,
oh shit, man. God damn. This, you're sending me back to some fucking great games.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit. We delisted Spec Ops Aligned, and that motherfucker skyrocketed now. So. Yeah, listen, the stranglehold we have on the gaming industry.
That game was tight. That white phosphorus level was no joke in that game.
No shit. But it's just hilarious. Like he asked me, did I want to play that? And I was like, fuck yeah, I'd like to replay that. And then thank Christ I had bought, a copy long before he talked about wanting to talk about it just a few years ago, because it was like, I think I paid $10 for it. Yeah. And that game's like $80 now. So. Yeah.
No, yeah. Odyssey of the West is fun as hell. Darkness, I loved those games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were a blast. Co-op in that game, shit, man, that shit was...
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good time. That's the thing. I was always very much like auto replay games, and now I go through the Steam sales. Like, I can play Dishonored again for $1.50. Dishonored, yeah. But they're like, you can get that on Game Pass right now, and you're just like, no. But I'm like, but it's on the Steam Deck, which is stupid because I can stream from the consoles to the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So I really try to limit it to, okay, like Larian Games is a perfect example. Larian Game, you know, they make Baldur's Gate 3. Their shit is, they've said they will never put their stuff on Game Pass. Okay, fine. So that's why I bought Divinity Original Sin 2. It's like, I don't feel bad, but some of the, and just like some of this other stuff, like, I go through now like all the older games, and I'm like, how does that play on Steam Deck? And they're like, poor. Man. Damn it. And I could go upstairs and play it right now, but I'm like, it's not the same.
Yeah, right. Again, like old man, you know, yelling at the clouds. But I am just having so much more fun replaying these games than I've had playing newer stuff.
I think for me, it's a memory. I just assumed my memory was better than it is. Like when I was playing Knights of the Old Republic 2, I was like, I don't remember any of this shit. Like,
oh no,
like, I remember the old lady, and that's it.
Well, I remembered Spec Ops, but I remembered loving it, so it was fun to play through that again. And you know, we did Castlevania Lords of Shadow, the first one. Man, I have forgotten a lot of that game. So, and Darkness too. It's not that I've forgotten it. It's just like, you know, it's just fun to. For me, honestly, with my current mindset, to be having fun with video games again is so much more important than me worrying about whether or not I've played fucking God of War Ragnarok or whatever, or
the new hotness.
whatever thing that I feel like I should have played but I haven't, and then my backlog is so fucking stupid that I feel overwhelmed by it constantly, but I still add to it because I'm an idiot. But man, nobody cares if I'm playing The Darkness 2 or not, right? But I'm having such a fucking good time playing it, and I'm excited to talk about it with my buddy. So
that's what it's all about. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's your time, and it's limited, so make use of it however it makes you happy.
Yep.
That's how I look at it. Like, yeah, I bought Half-Life, and I'll play it. It'll look ridiculous, but I'll probably have a good old – I'll throw that shit on easy, and I'll crowbar crabs, and at the end, I'll jump on that big space baby, and we'll call it a day.
God damn, man. What an example of the thing that I didn't have the, you know, preferred hardware to play it on, so I bought it on the PS2, and you know, there were loading screens where I had time to like take a nap, go to sleep. Like I almost could have gone to work and came home before the fuck. And it's not like it was loading a new level; it was walking through a door.
Yeah.
And I was like, "People like this?"
Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, now you got to go back through the door." You're like, "No,
no."
Yeah. No? Okay. Yeah.
But I loved the shit out of 2 when I got the orange box. So,
yeah, 2 is great for sure. I have that too. It was like 99 cents. How could you not? But it was 99 cents. All right. Once Macklemore enters the chat, I think that's probably a good time.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, it's 8:30. It's my bedtime. So
fuck yes. I gotta be prepared to be on janitorial duty first thing in the morning. So
yeah.
All right. It's been a good time. Episode 194. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'm sure next show, we'll get into the ups and downs of various grocery delivery services. You know, what is the best seltzer water? And maybe we need like a mixology guide. Like, are you feeling fancy?
Oh, man.
Are you feeling casual?
I'm just going to tell you.
Vodka bomb pop? I'm just saying.
I was about to say, you fuck around and put some vodka in that peach, though?
Oh.
Bruh.
I do like, though, that some of the we should just do our own podcast. I do like that some of the flavored waters are actually like cocktail flavors.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're like, we're not saying you need to put booze in it, but you should put some booze in it.
Yeah, which you were going to anyway.
Anyway, right. So now you can pretend like you've had a mojito. Thanks, Walmart.
Yeah.
All right. That's been episode 194 of Divided by Worlds. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we look forward to spending some more time with you in the next 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night, and have a good evening.